Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie. Back in town. Look out, old man.
Yeah.
Back. Chris McMartin.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you on this Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls for the next 3 hours as we got you to the warm-up show at 5. Fleegs on the other side. And here we are. We'll get to the baseball. You know we're going to because the Yankee shill's happy after a decisive explosion of offense in the late innings for the New York Yankees as they score 10 in the 7th inning. We'll get to the Mets as they lose the second game of the series against Arizona. Both teams will be looking for a rubber match victory. But we're going to start with the New York Knicks. Everything Knicks, baby! Because this game, too, is what we just witnessed, and you heard Marco talk about it, as the Pacers, who were down, I think they were down as many as 20 points in this game, come back and take game two in Cleveland, 120-119. We know they're banged up. Obviously, they're missing three of their starters, Cleveland and, you know, Spider Mitchell can only do so much, but I mean, to blow the game the way they did with a double-digit lead going into the fourth, up by 7 with, like, under a minute, they miss a ton of free throws and get beat by a Halliburton dagger, 120-119. And as we get ready for this game number 2, Boston against New York, I don't know if the Knicks are going to be able to come away with a victory. This is going to be a very difficult game. There's no doubt about it. But here's a couple of things I want to say. One, and now we are hearing that Porzingis is probable for game 2. I would imagine Porzingis, at the very least, is going to give it a go. And he obviously makes a huge difference in this series, in this matchup, in this game. I want to dispel the idea, like, there is no such thing as house money. Right, I want to make sure this game is extremely important. You go into these games, and I know you head into a series from a bird's eye view of 1,000 feet away, and you say, take one of the first two. Get the split, head home with the, you know, home court advantage for the rest of the series. You got to get that split. You got to get that split. That's all fine and good. But what you have to do, especially with this game for the Knicks, and what I find interesting as I'm listening to Brian Windhorst on ESPN, and I'm listening to a lot of the other, you know, talking heads throughout what we do here, not even necessarily this station, but ESPN, that's so, you know, that covers basketball as pronounced as they do, and everything. And there's this feeling, there's a feeling going around, and obviously you understand it because the Celtics are a heavy favorite in this series and still are the favorite to win the series. But there is a, I'm listening to Colin Cowherd call it the most boring and meaningless game one upset that he's ever seen. You're listening to Brian Windhorst. He's just, well, listen, it's one of those, they missed every shot. And, you know, the Knicks really haven't beaten anybody like this all season long. And, you know, I understand it was an amazing comeback and Brunson's great. But really, like, you have to stamp game one with your game two performance. This Knicks team has to come out in game two and show the Celtics that game one wasn't a fluke. That it's not just about how poorly they played, how poorly they shot. Oh, they lost Porzingis. Oh, you know, listen, ultimately, they're so far a superior team. Even Evans saying they're going to win the next four games. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think the Celtics, and listening to them talk, think they didn't play well. It's the NBA playoffs. Everyone's tough. But ultimately, they believe themselves to be the far superior team in this matchup. Game one wasn't enough. When you do it by missing 45 three-pointers, when you do it by blowing a 20-point lead, when you do it without Porzingis as he has to leave the game, when you do it the way game one looked, many people believe there is a fluky nature to that game. And so when you head into this, when you're the Knicks, and you look at the issues you had, there's plenty of moments and things to go over to make the Knicks better in this game. There are things the Knicks can do better. It's not just about how the Celtics failed. Karl Anthony Towns has to be a hell of a lot better in game number two. They can be a hell of a lot more efficient from the free throw line in game number two. They can eliminate a lot of the pointless and lazy turnovers that we saw in game number one. There's a lot of things the Knicks can improve on, despite going on the run they did in the second half, despite finishing off the game in overtime. Mikal Bridges, as great as he played, and I know we got into the debate of how many picks. I said it last night, he's worth every pick off of that one overtime performance. Every pick he was traded for is now, I'm glad to pay it for what he gave them in the overtime. Even he could be more efficient offensively, only 8 points in the game. There are ways the Knicks can be a lot better than they were in game one as well. Now, every road team in the NBA playoffs thus far has won the game. They are 5-0, underdogs, 5-0. Two from the Pacers, one from everybody else. It is time to go back into that building tonight at 7 o'clock and stamp the first game of this series. Would I love them to win? Of course. Right? Will at the end of it, if they lose this game, will I come out of it with most Knicks fans come out of it saying, hey, we got the split. Got the one game they absolutely needed. They came away from these first two games accomplishing what had to be accomplished. They got one victory. We head back home tied. We did what we had to do. Yeah, I'll probably be saying that. But that doesn't change the fact that they can't allow this game to look like the regular season games again. Like, we could talk all we want after game one, and we were pumped up, and we were excited, and coming off that victory, the biggest victory we've had since 1999. And we're all pumped about it, and to come back from 20 points down, and to watch the way they played down the stretch, and the three consecutive threes that we got from our hero, Jalen Brunson, and the way Mitch Robinson, and the way Mikal Bridges played in the overtime, and we were pumped, and it was a great win. But as we get a day away from it, you start to realize that it's probably not enough to put a real fear into this Boston Celtic team. And that game, if this one goes the way they have in the regular season, or the first half of game one is what continues throughout game number two. If they head into Boston and get their asses kicked in game number two, yes, they've accomplished what we needed to accomplish. From a series standpoint, they got the one win, you head back tied, and you try and win your home games and take this series in six. Sure, sounds great, sounds wonderful.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
But if they go into this game tonight and don't show up, if they go into this game tonight and get their asses kicked, if they go into this game tonight and it's 20 at the half and it's 27 at the end of three, and this game is meaningless and Tibbs gets to play all the bench at the end of the fourth quarter, the feeling around game number one is going to start to feel fluky. And the Boston Celtics, who have been a better road team all year, a better road team in the playoffs, is going to head into Madison Square Garden, where the Knicks have lost two out of three so far this year against the Detroit Pistons, with a tremendous amount of confidence. The Knicks have to stamp game one with a dogfight in game number two. I don't know if they have to win it. Clearly, I don't think they have to win it. It would really put a stranglehold on this series, and then that change if they go out and win this game. I mean, I'm not even talking about that because I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself. But if the Knicks go out and win this game, well, now everything changes, and no one can say a thing. And the series clearly shifts, the momentum being in the Knicks' favor, and the Celtics are in real trouble. Right? You change the entire series without question, undisputed. No one could argue it. The series completely shifts. The Knicks are no longer the underdog in the series they go out and win tonight. But even if they can't pull off the upset, even if this Boston team, who is desperate for a win in their building, who needs the game worse than the Knicks, even if they can't get over the threshold and win this basketball game, they have got to make a fight of it. They have got to be there. This game has to come down to the last few minutes. They've got to put the fear. They've got to give their closer, Jalen Brunson, a chance to steal game number two, a chance to change the discourse of this series. They've got to have that opportunity. This has to be a hard-fought game, and we still need to see adjustments, right? We need to see how the coach is going to handle this Hakimich thing, and we're going to see maybe if that means playing Achiuwa. Like, there are things that we still have to see them change. We know the Boston Celtics will make changes. Like, this is now a swing game in this series, but number one, and we talk about how much that Pistons series helped harden them. And I think we can eliminate the idea of this team being soft. We can eliminate the idea of this team not being together. We can eliminate the idea of this team not having the same chemistry or toughness or tenacity or fortitude or other platitude you want to bring up than compare them to last year's team. This team has it. They showed it in the Pistons series. They showed it in game one of this series. They have to show it again in game two. There has to be a level of fear in the fourth quarter. They have to come out of this game knowing it's a series, because it's easy to laugh off 45 missed threes. It's an easy number to point to. It's an easy thing to just say, hey, look, we played like crap. We missed every one of our shots. It's all right. And that will be the narrative moving forward into Madison Square Garden if the Knicks get their ass kicked. But if the Knicks stand firm, if the Knicks put another scare into the Boston Celtics, if this game is down to the wire, if they play the perimeter defensively as well as they played it in game one, if the Celtics again shoot an ungodly number of missed three-pointers, if there is an element of we now we are seeing the same thing for a second consecutive game, now it becomes fact. Now it becomes what's happening. Now you can't laugh it off, you can't call it a fluke, and you can't call it meaningless. Now this is the direction of the series. Now these are how the two first games have been played in Boston, and you can feel as if this is what we're going to see. And you still might see a Celtic team come out on top, either this game or the rest of the series. It doesn't guarantee anything. But what it does guarantee, as far as success or you know, wins and losses, but what it does guarantee is that we are in for a battle, that we are in for a war, and that this is a series. The Knicks need to stamp game one with a game two performance. That cannot be a fluke. You can't go back to the Garden thinking you got lucky. Having Boston think you got lucky. Having the rest of the world think you got lucky. This is an enormous game to challenge the narrative that the Knicks don't belong and they got lucky in game number one. And the Celtics missed an ungodly number of threes. Tatum had an off night. Brown had an off night. Porzingis had to leave because of illness. We didn't even have our team. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't want to think that crap. I don't want to hear that crap. I don't want that to be the narrative. I don't want the Celtics to have a choice but to dismiss that as folly and understand that they are in a dogfight with a team that came to play, with a team that's there till the end, with a team that it doesn't matter that they fell down 20. It doesn't matter how many threes you make or miss. We are going to be in this thing. We are in your face. We are going to guard the perimeter at a different level than we did in the regular season because we're a different team than we were in the regular season. That's the message that needs to be sent. I think this series, the way I talked about it in game one, talking about it in game two now, it is a series of a message that needs to be sent to them. When you are this big an underdog, and I listened to him again talk about it today, Evan and Tiki, and they were talking, the Boston radio station was talking about it with them, about what kind of upset this would be. We're talking about the idea of the Knicks beating the Boston Celtics being a bigger upset than the New York Giants beating the undefeated New England Patriots, arguably the greatest NFL team I have ever seen. When you are in a series where that's the perception is David Goliath, the perception is one team doesn't belong. It has to be built on wins, clearly. But it's just as important to change that feeling inside the series as quickly as you can. And because of the nature of how game one went with losing Porzingis and missing 45 threes and blowing a 20-point lead, it can be dismissed as fluky. Tonight is the game the Knicks say this isn't a fluke. Strap up your boots because this is a series and this one is going long. And we aren't backing down from nothing. And game one wasn't a fluke. Get your ass ready because we're coming to bring it. That's what needs to be said tonight. I'll be extremely disappointed in this team. And I will be extremely disappointed in my opinion of the series moving forward if we see what we saw in the regular season. If we see a game where they couldn't match the intensity of a desperate Boston team, a more talented Boston team, a team that everybody expects to kick the crap out of the Knicks tonight. If we see that game most people expect, I'll be extremely disappointed. Go out there and take it, sure. Go out there and win, sure. Go out there and take a stranglehold in the series, that'd be nice. But as a Knicks fan, watching this team, falling in love with this group over the last couple of years, I'd love a win. I need a fight. I need a fight. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. We'll open with the Knicks. We'll get to the baseball. We didn't really get a chance, obviously, in reaction to game one, to talk about Devin Williams. I'd like to delve into that a little bit more, plus what we saw from the youth of the New York Yankees and how the Mets continue to struggle with runners in scoring position and who are the players really hurting the team and not the ones we just like to talk about. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. We'll take your calls and we'll get you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show to start your day. Game day. Game day. Knicks, Celtics, tonight, 7 o'clock.